Chapter 19. While Lexi drove at top speed over to the police station, which in the bug these days was about 35, Nan sat in the passenger seat and checked her messages on her phone. Darn, Ruth said the jeweler's isn't open. They have a handwritten sign tacked up in the door, something about a family emergency and that they'd be back shortly. Nan sighed and stared out the window beside her, frowning. Looks like we'll have to wait to find out if that valuable coin is on her bracelet or not. Lexi drove the last few blocks to the police station, gripping the steering wheel tight. Not only was she nervous about her poor car making the journey intact, she was worried about what Jack would say when she showed up again, unexpectedly. Just a week ago, she never would have had any doubts about popping into this office unannounced. She'd done that a lot since they'd been married, taking him special batches of her treats, or just leaning her head into his office to say hi. Over the last year or so, though, they'd both gotten so busy, him with his police work and her with the bakery, that such fun interludes had grown sparser. Maybe that was why he'd gone looking elsewhere for attention and affection. She winced at the ache in her chest. Perhaps she was as guilty as he was of neglecting their relationship. Guilt now joined the hurt inside her. She signaled and slowed to turn into the police headquarters parking lot, a lump of sadness clogging her throat. Was it too late to bare their souls and their secrets and save the love she and Jack had? The car coasted into a parking spot just as the engine sputtered out a cough, wheezed, and then died. Hopefully it just needed a rest and would start later. Lexi said a silent prayer of thanks, then got out, helping Ida from the back seat. The ladies walked arm in arm up to the station entrance. Considering what they'd just discovered at Stan's about Joe Stoddard's possible involvement in the Sherman Wilson murder, Lexi had no doubt leaving this whole thing in Jack's capable hands was the best solution all around. Still, she just wished she didn't dread seeing him again so much. It wasn't that she didn't love spending time with the man she loved. She just didn't relish the doubt crouching between them like gremlins. The truth would win out in the end. Lexi only wished it didn't hurt so bad to wait. The lobby was empty, and Nan's and Ida's orthopedic shoes squeaked on the industrial tile as they rushed past the receptionist. In the background, they could hear muted sounds of phones ringing, a door buzzing, and the quiet murmur of the dispatcher talking into the headset. A burst of laughter filtered out of one of the break rooms, and Lexi wondered if it might be Jack and the blonde, but it was only a cluster of uniformed officers with styrofoam cups in their hands. The station smelled of stale coffee and cleaning chemicals. As Lexi made her way to Jack's office, she experienced the claustrophobic sensation that a prisoner might feel as he was being led to the jail cells at the back of the building. She shrugged it off and held her breath as she halted in her husband's doorway. Thankfully, the blonde was nowhere to be seen today. Lexi wasn't exactly sure what she would have done had the other woman been there, but given her skyrocketing stress levels at the moment, it wouldn't have been pretty. After a deep breath to steady her shaking hands, she knocked on the wood doorframe. "Hey." Jack looked up from his paperwork, his expression surprised. "Honey, what are you doing here? What a pleasant surprise." "It is?" she asked, hesitant.
"Always."
He got up and walked over to kiss her.
"I love seeing you, almost as much as I love you, period."
Love for him squeezed the air from her lungs. What was wrong with her? She'd let her overactive imagination put a barrier between her and Jack. She'd jumped to conclusions about the blonde and the conversation between John and Cassie. She'd even imagined the worst about his unaccountable awkwardness when he'd brought her wine and flowers. But still, the niggling sensation that something was going on persisted. Why couldn't he just tell her what the heck was going on? We have another suspect for you, Nan said, pushing into his office past Lexi and jarring her out of her thoughts. Joe Stoddard.
Really? Joe Stoddard? Doesn't he run a taxi service in town?
What difference does that make? Ida said, plopping down into one of the chairs in front of Jack's desk. Uber drivers can be killers, too. Jack sighed and sat back in his chair, his smile fading into consternation.
Look, ladies, I've indulged you all enough, probably way more than I should because I love my wife. But let's look at the facts in this case. First, the other day, you wanted me to arrest this poor Herman Conti guy, but that turned out to be a false alarm. Now, you expect me to arrest Joe Stoddard and bring him in for questioning on nothing more than your word?
He ran a hand through his thick brown hair and shook his head.
I'm sorry, Mona, but I can't do it. He's not even on my suspect list, and you've given me no proof.
Stan, the storage man, said Joe Stoddard's station wagon was in his parking lot around the time of the murder. Lexi said, standing behind Ida's chair to give herself some space between her and Jack. Standing too close to him distracted her, and right now she needed to keep all of her wits. Jack scrubbed his hand over his face and gave a mirthless chuckle.
Back to investigating again, honey. Didn't we specifically discuss you not going to Stan's storage facility anymore?
Heat prickled Lexi's cheeks and she looked away. Nan's was going, and I didn't want her to be there unprotected.
I see. And it never occurred to you to call me?
The warmth in his honey brown eyes dissolved into anger.
I'm telling you, that guy is far too dangerous for all of you. Not to mention that car of yours is on its last legs, honey. What would have happened if you'd gotten stranded out there?
I had my cell phone, Lexi said, her own irritation rising over his imperious tone. She wasn't some child who needed a keeper. She was a grown woman. She'd bet good money he didn't treat the blonde that way. If we'd needed help, I would have called.
Really?
Jack sat back.
Take out your phone, please.
Annoyed, she held his gaze as she dug around in her purse to pull out the device. Once she had it in hand, she thrust it toward her husband like a trophy. See? Right here.
Check the screen, he said,
his arrogant expression only increasing her ire. Lexi turned the phone, and her shoulders slumped. Out of juice. Okay, fine. Maybe Jack was right this time. It didn't mean he was correct about everything else or that he had to rub her nose in it. I have a charger in my car.
And what would you use to power it up? The battery in your VW is as decrepit as the rest of that vehicle.
He sighed and pushed to his feet, exhaling slowly as he walked over to take Lexi's shoulders gently.
Look, I'm sorry, honey. I knew because I tried to call you earlier and it said your number was currently unavailable. Pretty sure that gave me a few gray hairs until you showed up here on my doorstep.
He pulled her stiff form into a hug.
I just love you and don't want to see you get hurt.
Her breath caught. See, she'd been overreacting to everything. Jack really did love her. Jack pulled back slightly and smiled down at her. The one that made her knees tingle and her toes curl. Darn him. That was one powerful weapon where he was concerned. Lexi sighed. I'm sorry about breaking my promise about going to the storage facility, too. And I appreciate you trying to protect me, but we need to discover the truth here, and... Jack slipped his arm around her waist, his hand on the small of her back as he directed her out the door and toward the lobby. Nance and Ida followed behind them.
I hate to cut this short, honey, but I've got a meeting with the commissioner in about 5 minutes.
He gave her one more quick peck, then waved to the other ladies before heading back toward the gate.
You'll find out the truth soon. Don't worry. You won't have to worry about it for much longer.
All of Lexi's doubts came crashing back at Jack's strange parting words. Stunned, Lexi stood at the front entrance, Nans and Ida by her side, and watched Jack walk back to his office alone. You'll find out the truth soon. What was he talking about? She wouldn't have to worry about what? His advice? Their marriage? Her heart sank as she walked back outside and headed toward the car, not missing the strange glance Ida and Nance exchanged. Both the ladies were remaining suspiciously silent now, which only served to heighten Lexi's sense of dread. Could they tell, too, that something was horribly wrong between her and Jack? Had it been obvious to everyone but her? Or worse, did they know about it, just like John and Cassie? And was she partly to blame? Perhaps she had taken the investigating too far this time. Jack's only concern seemed to be for her safety, yet each time he asked her not to go somewhere, she did exactly that. Was that maybe why he'd taken an interest in the blonde? She was sure Jack wouldn't cheat, but maybe his heart was starting to wander against his will. Was she docile and easily manipulated, doing whatever Jack said without question? When they'd been dating, he'd said that Lexi's fire and spirit were two of the things he loved and admired most about her. Now, though, perhaps that had changed. And was her disregard for his wishes driving him right into the arms of another woman? She loved helping Nance and the other ladies with their cases, but not enough to ruin her marriage. If Jack wanted her to back off, that was what Lexi would do, just as soon as they got this Sherman Wilson murder solved. She and the ladies were already in far too deep now to back out.